I've entitled tonight, In the Hour of Need. In the Hour of Need. And I'd like to start with our text, but it's not going to be the story that's going to illustrate it from the scripture. Psalm 50 and verse 15. And just before we stand for the reading of this verse, and we're going to read it a couple times, you're going to read it with me. Let me welcome all the college students that are all in the different areas as well. We're glad to have each one of them. And thank you, students, for being flexible. But I also want to take a moment, and I want to thank a church back in 1995 that voted unanimously to start West Coast Baptist College. First of all, I wouldn't be here if you hadn't voted that way. So Lancaster Baptist Church, thank you. Thank you so much for taking on and being a church that has a college. And I just can't thank you all enough. Thank you, Pastor, for the vision. But I do thank you, church. We wouldn't have West Coast Baptist College if it wasn't for all of you. And so I'm very, very thankful to you. Let's stand for the reading of our verse tonight in the hour of need. I'm going to give you a great story from the scriptures about spiritual warfare and prayer. And we're going to start with Psalm 50 and verse 15. This is a great verse for our lives right now, for our church, for our family, for our state, and for our country. It says, "And call upon me in the day of," everyone together, trouble. Well, I looked up that word. And a lot of times I look up the word and I, you know, come up with a funny definition or something for it. But honestly, the word trouble there has to do with adversity, and the core of the Hebrew word has the idea of restraints or restrictions. And call upon me in the day of restrictions. I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. Isn't that a great verse? And call upon me in the day of COVID's restrictions. I will deliver thee. And thou shalt glorify me. Would you all say, and we just got to say restrictions there for the word trouble, okay? So as we say Psalm 50 verse 15, would you read it with me out loud together? We'll say restrictions there for trouble, everyone together. And call upon me in the day of restrictions, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. Father, I pray that the Bible illustration of this verse tonight would go to our souls and our conscience. I pray tonight that there would be a movement of crying out to you and praying for you like the man we're going to look at tonight. And I ask, Lord, you gave us a biblical illustration of Psalm 50, verse 15. May we now apply it in our lives. Thank you, Lord, for all the students that are here. Lord, this is a great verse and a great lesson for them. But Lord, I pray for Lancaster Baptist Church, whether they're watching or whether they're here. Lord, I pray. Thank you that we meet on Wednesday night. Thank you that we can have church. Thank you for the guidance and the vision of our pastor, and that we're taking a step of faith and trusting in you, Lord. And I think of this verse, Lord, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I believe our pastor has done that. And Lord, I think we have. And I will deliver thee. We're looking forward to that deliverance. So one reason, Lord, so we can glorify you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. You may be seated. 2 Kings chapter 19. And I want to talk to you about Hezekiah tonight. There is a spiritual warfare, and there is an army of angels that are going to fight in this spiritual warfare for Hezekiah. It is not going to be Hezekiah. It is going to be Hezekiah's prayer that's going to give him spiritual warfare victory. Now, as we go to 2 Kings chapter 19, there's no way that you can teach about Hezekiah and not look a little bit at chapter 18 for just a moment. So we have three kings of Israel. You have Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. After Solomon, the kingdom divides between the northern kingdom, which is usually called Israel and the southern kingdom called Judah. Sometimes the northern kingdom is also called Ephraim. There's 39 kings between both of these kingdoms. All of the kings of Israel, the northern kingdom, are bad. Most of all the kings of the southern kingdom are bad as well. There's 7 good kings in the southern kingdom in Judah. There's 7 good kings, but there's 3 kings that have revival. One of them is Hezekiah. And at 25 years of age, college students, this man takes over the leadership of Judah. And what he does is amazing. Look at verse 2. We're in chapter 18. We're going to go to chapter 19. That's where our text is. But you cannot study Hezekiah and not see this. 25 years old was Hezekiah when he took over. Look at verse 3. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. That is just a great statement to be said. Amen. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Now, you know what? This is my church, and he is my pastor. So I think it's all okay to say once in a while, I'm thankful for a pastor who does that which is right in the sight of the Lord. I am. I'm thankful for my pastor. I know that's his heart. I know that's his burden. I know that's his desire. Man, I just love that statement. Man, I hope that's said of me. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like his father David did. Now, David wasn't his immediate father, but that's who he was connected to because of the way that he lived. Then look at verse 4. And he removed the high places. Now, I mentioned just a moment ago, there were 7 good kings. And then I mentioned just a moment ago, there were 3 kings that saw revival. The 3 kings that saw revival all destroyed the high places. They are the only 3 kings that destroyed the high places. Now, what are the high places? Those are the places that they worshiped. But let me tell you what the high places were. They were places of convenient worship. They were places of comfortable worship. They were places of compromised worship. Therefore, they were places of corrupt worship. None of the other kings ever destroyed the high places, but Hezekiah did. 25 years old, he says, hey, we ain't worshiping all those convenient places. We're going to worship where we're supposed to at Jerusalem. And all the things that he did with the high places. Then it says, it continues on, it says, And make the images, and he cut down the groves, he break in pieces, and he destroyed the brazen serpent. Now, there's nothing wrong with the brazen serpent, except for the people made it something to worship. And he says, we're not going to worship things, we're going to worship God. So we're going to destroy all of that. Coming from being born and raised in a Catholic background, I'm really thankful for a guy that destroyed these idols to serve and worship the true God. I love verse 5. And he trusted in the Lord God of Israel, so that after him was none like him among the kings of Judah, nor any that were before him. Wow, what a statement. By the way, don't you love verse 6? And he clave to the Lord. Isn't that a great, you know, it just said he trusted in the Lord, and that, well, that's great. But he clave to the Lord, like he's holding on to the Lord because there's nothing else to hold on to. He departed not from following him. Wow, what a statement. He kept his commandments. He rebelled against the king of Assyria, and he served him not. And he smote the Philistines, verse 8. But look at verse 13. Now, in the 14th year. Now, let me tell you something. Hezekiah lived for God. It's amazing what he did. But that did not absolve him from being attacked. Him living for God made him more of a target, not an insulation from attack, adversity, and problems. This is one of the most godly kings in the entire Bible. But he gets hit, and he gets hit hard. And there is no way that we will ever be able to flee the one word we talked about in Psalm 50, and that's the word trouble. We will always live near trouble, my friend. As long as we're on this earth, trouble will be our neighbor. You're never going to get to a point that it's going to be comfortable. It's going to be easy. There will always be trouble in our life, no matter how good you live, no matter how righteous you are, no matter what deeds you do for God. Trouble will be your neighbor. It will always happen. And so it was in the 14th year. Sennacherib came. I looked up his word, and his name means virus COVID, okay? Sennacherib comes, and it is truly, without a question, Hezekiah's pandemic. I mean, Sennacherib begins to, he already has taken the northern kingdom. Israel doesn't even exist anymore as the northern kingdom. And now he's coming down after Judah. He writes a letter that he gives to his messenger, who quotes the letter out loud in front of the gates of Jerusalem. The letter is terrible. I mean, the letter is scathing. Pastor, have you ever received anything like that? He doesn't have social media, but he might as well. I mean, he is able to broadcast this scathing letter. Look at verse 20. Let not Hezekiah deceive you, for he shall not be able to deliver you out of his hand. Neither let Hezekiah make you trust in the Lord. What a statement. Don't be even thinking about trusting in Hezekiah's God, saying the Lord will surely deliver you. It's not happening. I'm taking you over. Look at verse 31. Hearken not to Hezekiah. By the way, the enemies of God will always attack the authorities that God has set up. Man, you notice he's not attacking anyone else but the leader of the city of Jerusalem. Hearken not to Hezekiah. Make an agreement with me by a present. You give me something, I'll take care of you. And come out to me. And then eat ye every man of his own vine and every one of his fig tree, and drink ye every one the waters of his cistern. It sounds like gifts that one government is going to give to the people that they're going to take over. It's not going to be that way. It's never going to be that way. So look at chapter 19. We get to our text. Chapter 19 and verse number 1. And it came to pass after this letter. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went into everyone together. What's the rest of the verse? And went into. I have 3 points tonight, and we'll go through them very quickly. Number one, the wisdom of calling upon God in your hour of need. The wisdom in calling upon God in your time of need. I got to get this. We live in a world today that if you call upon God, you are called foolish. And we need to understand, and we definitely do not need to be ashamed, that calling upon God at such a time as this is a very wise thing to do. It is wise to call upon God. Now notice this. Hezekiah's wisdom in where he went to call on God. Did you notice where he went? He went into the house of the Lord. Oh, Brother Shetler, are you going to give us a little message right now? Is this your little point about coming to church? Yes, this is that point. But I know you're thinking, and you're going to say, well, you know, the temple in the Old Testament, we are now the temple of God. I know, trust me, I know that very well. I know that we are the sanctuary of the Holy Spirit, and I understand that we're the temple of God. But there is something about coming to the house of God. And I want to tell you, the other night, I sat right over there, and I got this cool little packet. And we did something I hadn't done in 6 months. We had the Lord's Supper. Now, my body's the temple of the Holy Ghost. But in order to participate in the Lord's Supper, I needed to go to the house of God with the people of God. And it is important to, I tell you, I sat there and I said, oh, Lord, how we need the ordinances. Isn't it great in the midst of all this, we keep seeing people get baptized every Sunday? There is something about going to the house of God. Now, I understand, I got to be careful. There are people watching by live stream that cannot get out. But I want to say this. If you can get out, you ought to be in the house of God. Thanks for coming back on Wednesday night. Notice where he's wise. Hezekiah's wisdom is in where he went to call. He went to the house of God. By the way, do you ever think about this? Maybe because he was the king, he wanted to show as an example to the rest of the people where he was going to go. He didn't just pray in his little palace, in his little house. I want the people of Jerusalem to know where I'm going to pray. And I'm going to the house of God. You know, it's good to go to the house of God as a testimony. You know, you think sometimes, Brother Scheller, what can we do for the cause of Christ right now? Go to church. I'm serious. That says a lot. And I think it did for Hezekiah. But let me go on with Hezekiah's wisdom here. This was a very wise thing to call upon God. Don't let trouble keep you from the house of God. Let trouble bring you to the house of God that you need to call on him. Look at number two, though. Hezekiah's wisdom is in how he went to call. Now look over at verse 14. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers, and he read it. And Hezekiah went, this is how he did this now. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Brother Shelley, I don't want to mess up this point, but you do understand that God already knew what was in the letter. Yeah. And you do understand, Brother Scheller, God already knows what he's going to do. Yeah. But I am telling you, there is wisdom in taking that need that you have and spreading it before God. God, I know you know this already, but here's the financial need. God, I understand that you know the health things already, but here it is, Lord. To take that letter and to spread it before the Lord and just say, dear God, I know you know this, but Lord, here it is. He just, in such simplicity, he just says, God, I can't do this. Jesse Jones and I this week have taken Way Week and we have laid it on God, and it has changed every hour of this whole week. I mean, every activity, everything we do. Lord, here it is. I don't know how it's going to get done. I don't know how this is going to get done. I don't know how we're going to do all this. I don't know how this is going to happen. But God, here it is. Now, let me tell you something. We've got to take the things that are happening in our life right now. There is great wisdom in where he went, but there is great wisdom in how he called upon God. He takes the need and he lays it out before God. And he says, Lord, I can't make this happen. Lord, Sennacherib's going to take us over. I think we need to lay our country before God right now. I think we need to lay our community before God. The frustration to not be able to go door to door, the frustration not to be able to witness for Christ. You know what we got to do? We got to lay it before God. We just got to spread it out before the Lord and just say, Lord, I don't know how. I don't know what's going to happen, but you got to spread it out before the Lord. Notice the wisdom. Hezekiah's wisdom in how. Hezekiah's wisdom in where. Notice this. Hezekiah's wisdom in when he went to call. The very first thing that happens, what does he do? As soon as he gets the letter, he immediately goes to the house of God. There is great wisdom in pouring your heart out and seeking the Lord at the beginning of something, not in the middle or at the end of it. How many times have you ever lost something and you looked for it for about 2-3 hours and then you decided to finally pray, only to find it right after you prayed? I have had that happen to me so many times. And my wife, you know, she's just so good. She said, well, did you pray about it? I haven't got there yet. Well, maybe that's where the first thing you should have got to. And I want to tell you something. The first thing, by the way, the college students that are here tonight, and I think the freshmen are in there. Don't wait till October to start crying out to God. Start your semester crying out to the Lord. Start our year. When you're going through something, let not prayer be the last thing you do. Let prayer be the first thing. There is great wisdom in what Hezekiah did. One other thing I thought was really good. There's great wisdom in Hezekiah's wisdom in who he went to call on. Now, in just a moment, we're going to talk about the worship of the calling. So we're going to talk about this God in just a minute. But I do want to talk to you about the wisdom in who he called. I'm thankful for who he didn't call. Aren't you glad that Hezekiah, the first verse doesn't say this, and it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it, that he rent his clothes and covered himself with sackcloth and went to the scientist. Aren't you glad he didn't go to the scientist? Aren't you glad he didn't go to his friends? And by the way, some of you are listening to your friends more than you're listening to God. And some of you are getting sources of your counsel and information, not from good sources. Hezekiah didn't go to his friends. He didn't go to the scientists. And praise God, he didn't go to the government. He didn't look to the government for his answer. He went to God, knowing that that's what he should do. Hezekiah's wisdom in who he went. All right, number two, the worship in calling upon God. Now, this one's pretty short, but I will tell you, you will not find many verses in the entire Bible that's just jam-packed with more of God than 2 Kings 19 and verse 15. So here's his prayer. I had the opportunity in spring to teach the very first prayer class we've ever offered at West Coast. It was a Monday night class, and I just absolutely loved it. Now, we only made it we did the rest online. One of the things that I had the students do, every week they had to write out a prayer about a different topic, about their country, about their leader, about their pastor. They had to write out a prayer about their future ministry. And there's something about writing out your prayers. Now, I don't think we have to keep repeating the prayers we write out, but when we write out our prayers, it's so much, there's thought given to it. Marilee and I have been married for 40 years. We celebrated our 40th anniversary about 2 weeks ago. And Marilee was in Pensacola still on the anniversary, and I was traveling around, and I was away from Marilee. So I went and got her a card. But I ended up getting two cards because I just liked what the card said. And then I wanted to write some specific things. I thought out what I was going to say to my wife of 40 years. And there's something to be said for writing out things that mean something to you, writing out to God. And look at verse 15. This is so good. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, "Oh," by the way, the word "oh" is important. There's a passion. This means something to him. "Oh, Jehovah Elohim of Israel, I am that I am, my all-sufficient Elohim, God, creator, powerful one of Israel, not Jacob, the covenant people. You're the faithful covenant God, which dwellest between the cherubims." Now, that is the coolest thing in the world. Where are the cherubims? Where do you dwell between the cherubims? The Ark of the Covenant. And there is one place. By the way, if you ever went to the tabernacle or to the temple and you spent a whole day there, you know the first thing you would do when you would leave the temple? You know the very first thing you would do after you left the temple or the tabernacle? You know what the first thing you'd do? "I got to find a seat to sit on. Man, I got to sit down. Wow, that tabernacle, that temple, wow, they're really busy in there. There's no chairs. There's no seats at all at the tabernacle. There's no seats in the temple. There's no place to sit. It's all activity. But there is one seat, and that one seat is between the cherubims, and that one seat is called the mercy seat, and that's where God rests, and it's on the mercy seat that God rests. And I want to share this with you. This is his mercy that dwells between the cherubims on the mercy seat. I need a merciful God right now. I need a Jehovah God. I am that I am. I need an Elohim God. I need a covenant God. And then look what it says. What a verse. "And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God, even thou alone, transcendent God, of all the kingdoms of the earth, sovereign God, that has made heaven and earth, the purposeful God." Wow. When was the last time you started your prayer that way? The worship in calling upon God. And then number three, and we're done. I want you to see the weakness in calling upon God. I wanted you to see his wisdom. I wanted you to see his worship. But as we close tonight, I want you to see the weakness in him calling upon God. Because this is what we need. And in the spiritual battle that we have, we've got to become weak so God can become strong. Now, note, listen to what it says in verse 16. Lord, bow down thine ear and hear. Open, Lord, thine eyes and see. Hear the words of Sennacherib, which has sent him to reproach the living God. Of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations of their lands. Now, this is important. The truth of our problem. He doesn't candy coat it. He says, God, we're in a mess. Lord, we are in a spot right now. God, our country, our city will be destroyed by Sennacherib. God, it's over unless you do something. There is a total helpless weakness. Now, in spiritual warfare, it's different. Because in normal warfare, it is all about your strength, but not in spiritual warfare. In spiritual warfare, it's all about your weakness. Because when you become weak, it is when God then can become strong. There are some great battles in all the kings. There is this battle about Jehoshaphat that they go in singing and the guy. But the one thing that's interesting about this battle, there is nothing that Hezekiah does except for praise. The only thing that he can do is pray. Now listen, we're doing everything we can at Lancaster Baptist and West Coast. I don't know of another ministry that does what we do here and what we're trying to do. We're not going to stop that. But I am going to tell you, we will not become strong enough to overcome this pandemic. We need to become weak enough that we trust God to take it over and God to do something that we cannot do. This is about God. This is not about us. This is about God working in our country, in our lives. College students, let me tell you something. You better learn really quick. This is not about you. This is about the God who called you. And until you become, you know, you come, and what's the first thing you want to do? You want to become strong, self-reliant. You want to get comfortable right away. No, no, no. What every student ought to be doing right now is seeing their weakness to call upon God. He says a very great truth here. He says, of a truth, Lord, the kings of Assyria have destroyed the nations in their lands and have cast their gods onto the fire, for they were gods. But the work of men's hands, wood and stone, therefore they have destroyed them. But now, therefore, O Lord, our God, you're not their gods. You're not all those wood gods and all those fake gods. You're not Hollywood. You're not this. You are God. Now, therefore, O Lord, our God, I beseech thee, save thou us out of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that thou art the Lord God, even thou only. Lord, this is not about us. This is about you. This is spiritual warfare. So listen to me. God, for your name's sake, make me make it through my freshman year. For your name's sake, help me in my classes to do well. For your name's sake, God, let us reach this valley. For your name's sake, God, may the state of California see things different about this pandemic. For your name's sake, bring revival to this country. For your name's sake, would you be willing to remove the pandemic before we get a vaccine so that you would be glorified? God, will you do this? not for us, not so we can take masks off, not so we don't have to be 6 feet away from people. Would you do this, God, that your name would be glorified, that you would be lifted up? Dear God, I pray tonight that the pandemic goes away for your namesake, that you will get the glory and the honor, not science, not politicians, but God, may you do something that we see happen, that God, only you can, and that's what he does. He cries out to God, the weakness in his calling. Y'all know the verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And Paul says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it may depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Once in a while, Mary Lee will come out of the kitchen and she'll have a jar. And she'll say, Jim, you got a minute? What do you need, honey? Will you open the jar? I can't open the jar. Oh, honey, you can't open the jar. No, Jim, will you open the jar? Oh, man, honey, I got to do everything for you, don't I? Come here, let me see that thing. Here you go, babe. It's all yours. It's all yours, hon. Oh, thanks, Jim. You're so strong. What can I say? Every husband here knows that when your wife does that and you do your thing, it's like, yeah, well, what can I say? She needs me. You know what? When we get in a pickle and we're backed by trouble, God, I can't open it. God, I can't do it. Our God loves, hey, Jim, I'll take care of it. Jim, I'll do it. Hey, I want to encourage you to do something. I want to encourage you. Listen, I'm telling you, this is the verse. By the way, I didn't even tell you what happens. So he prays the prayer, and this is the coolest thing. 185,000 of Hezekiah's soldiers go out and destroy the Assyrians, right? No. 185,000 angels. And if you think that the right biblical view is angels with harps, I'm sorry. That doesn't fit 2 Kings 19. Harpoons would be better than harps. And in 2 Kings 19, you have 185,000 army angels that come down and take care of the Assyrians. And all Hezekiah did was pray, God, I am totally weak. Would to God that God does something in our valley, our church, our family, our state, and our country, that we will say, God, I'm in a pickle. God, you're the only one that can deliver me. You're the only one that can open up what needs to happen in our land, in our country, and in our lives. And students, if you feel right now really weak, I'm really excited about that, because that's the time that you cry out to God. There is a spiritual battle. Our pastor will tell you, like he has never experienced before. And that spiritual battle comes and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me.